everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Room 1710. I'm your host, Jarvis Owens. And today, got a very special guest with me. Today, I got the Dr. Mario McCoy. He is a college dropout turned doctor. In 2019, he started his own minimalist focus brand called Incrumpable. Since then, he's been recognized and received credit from Forbes to Essence, GQ, even Kevin Harrington off of Shark Tank, and many more. Welcome, Mario.
Man, that made me look all decent right there. I appreciate you.
Oh, you did all the work.
I appreciate it.
You did all the work. So, man, tell us more about your backstory. First college dropout turned doctor. How did that happen?
My mama was disappointed. being 100%. Born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's one of the most segregated cities in the country. A lot of temptation for gang activity. A lot of things were outside before it became a thing. and I was a person where my mom really tried to steer me from the streets. I was raised on the north side of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Hampton Heights District. And it was a lot of temptation. And I was a person that growing up, you had to know how to fight. So being an individual that I excelled in the classroom, there were times that I would get bored in the classroom. Oh. And it would lead to me being in the streets doing things that I had no business doing. And I won't say I was able to cover it up because I was scholastically inclined, I guess we can say, or high on an academic totem pole. But I knew how to walk that tightrope. Sometimes you would dip your toe onto the wrong side of that tightrope, but it's molded me into being a individual that moves off of principle. It's molded me into being an individual that's able to read off of instinct, go on my gut, and molded me into being an individual that's able to read the room well. So being able to take a lot of the things that I've learned, both in and outside of the classroom, has really molded me into being a person, like I said, of principle, determination, focus, able to incorporate these things into Incomparable. And it's what we got today.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty amazing.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I can definitely kind of tell by your brand, you all about principle.
True.
All about, just image and everything. So what made you start your brand?
One, I've loved watches, mainly just being the flagship portion of the brand. Mm-hmm. My mom always told me, it's man law to never leave the house without a watch on. And one of our watches is actually dedicated to her. It's called Patek Link Miracle 34mm for all my women that's looking for a 34mm watch. Visit incomparablelife.com. but honing those skills into feeding a starving audience that, one, you know, I had the advantage of coming from our particular culture, but being able to authentically speak to our culture, because I come from hip hop. We talked about that before we started.
Absolutely.
So being able to use that as a stepping stone to, like I said, authentically speak our language, purely speak our language, and not even get a seat at the table, but create our own table. And that was something that I was, again, just able to use that balance of the streets and academia as a space to, you know, I won't even say manipulate a spot for us, mm-hmm. but know that we always idolize a lot of the European brands, the German mm-hmm. brands, and there's nothing wrong with that. We all have our tastes, we all have our preferences.
Yeah.
But being able to confidently create a company that pretty much sits on not fitting in, that sits on where culture meets confidence, that sits on the tenets of don't be regular, be incomparable, that automatically speaks to you beyond a timepiece, that speaks to your personality, speaks to your lifestyle, it speaks to who you want to be as a person, because nobody wants to be a duplicate of somebody else. So,
no, we started it. Not at all. So, you just brought up your company as well. Mm-hmm. what brought up the name? Like, I know, but tell the people how.
Mainly wanting to have a space that inspires simplicity is timeless, right? As a lifelong minimalist that didn't accept I was a minimalist until I was a grown up, there was a lot of spaces just in fashion where we weren't welcome. There's a lot of spaces in fashion even today, and not fast fashion, talking high fashion, because fast fashion, there's a people not necessarily loyal to your brand, but there's a space where, I'll just say in my experience, that I've had individuals that will doubt the ability to be able to speak their language as far as the intelligence aspect of fashion. The intelligence aspect of being able to create a timepiece that's worth an X amount of year warranty, that's able to, you know, speak to specific, you know, cloths and the things that we wear, the things that we wear as far as accessories and things like that, that's included. So gaining that knowledge makes us look different because it's not common, right? It's not a fly-by-night type of thing, and we wanted to inspire the masses to don't be regularly being comparable, and, you know, we had to watch this as a flagship. Because at the time when we started Incomparable in 2019, we were one of the few black-owned, quote-unquote, watch companies in the country. But I knew from jump, just thinking more, I guess you could say, grandiose, I wanted to have a company that was more focused on understated minimalism, that focuses on the qualities of fabrics and just not being known as such as being a timepiece company, but having that as being the flagship, but having more so of an area that speaks to our culture in a myriad of ways. So that was important for us.
Yeah.
And doing it our own way, where culture meets confidence, so.
Culture meets confidence, yeah. Yeah, I definitely remember that.
Appreciate it.
One of the things I really loved about your brand, and about you, really, one of the things that you say, the way that you define success is failure.
Yes.
Explain what you mean by that.
You brought up a piece of it, being a college dropout turned doctor.
Yeah.
When I dropped out of school, I wasn't focused. I was an individual, graduated high school with a 3 point plus GPA. But when I went to college, I got bored.
First year, first semester?
It was first semester. It was first semester.
Were you at a university?
I was. I was at a University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I had my bachelor's and my master's at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I got my doctorate from University of Southern California. So I had to go back to the school that knowingly I had an unceremonious exit from. And it was to the point where I had to write a letter to financial aid because my mom, single parent household, my dad left at an early age. She was a social worker. I wasn't getting no scholarships and nothing crazy like that. Yeah. But being able to successfully use the fact that I believe at the time there were less than, I'll just say the attrition rate was way higher than individuals that completed school at the time. This is mid-2007, probably. So I'm dating myself, y'all. I got some grays in my beard. It happens, man. But noticing that and looking back was just a space where I knew I had a goal I had to complete.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how I was gonna get there. Let me just take this step by step. I didn't really think, you know, 15, 20 years later, it would just be a dope tagline.
Yeah.
It was just a goal that I had to meet, so.
Yeah, no, it's definitely dope.
Appreciate it.
Because like how we talked about earlier, I think one of the most impressive things, you know, that's right next to your name, you have doctor, but I think college dropout is even probably more powerful to me.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's really important. So now, aside from failure, what other steps or, what other ingredients is there, do you think that there is in order for success?
Authenticity.
Authenticity.
A piece of Incomparable we have was called Faith Pillars. Focus, authenticity, value, and experience. But it's pulling from that, the authentic point, especially today, where technology just makes everything so readily accessible. Just being authentic in your own area of growth. And like we talked about it a bit previously, like there's no perfect brand that's out there. Yeah. The $1 trillion brands that, you know, we have in our pockets fail almost every year. It's always something product-wise, and as brand loyalists, we accept it because there's nothing like convenience. And that teaches you a lesson as to if you can't fail privately as a business owner, as a CEO, you're not gonna be able to take failing publicly. Because like your Steve Jobs, your Tim Cooks, whatnot, you have to have that keynote discussion every September. If it don't come in September, where the F you at? I need to see what's coming out next. So
that's a very good point.
Yeah, so and there was years where that didn't happen, right? Pandemic and stuff like that. The iPhone actually got pushed back to, I believe, was like a November or December release. And we were still pissed.
Yeah.
As consumers, we were still pissed. We didn't care about no global nothing. I want to upgrade. So knowing that and really keeping that into consideration, you know, just as you grow, like authentically, you know, just knowing that failure is going to come. One of mama uses the late great Nipsey Hussle, you can't skip steps. Mm. You can't skip steps when you're growing, cause people can see it. It's so easy to be able to, this person said this in 2009, so I don't fool with their product. That's the space that we in. So being authentic is just almost as important as failure.
So you mentioned Nipsey Hussle, and then also earlier you mentioned hip hop. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a big fan of hip hop as well, and rap. Mm-hmm. How has that shaped you and or your brand? What has that done for your life?
Hope.
I have an answer. Hope.
Hope. Okay. Hope is one. We talked about the authenticity. We talked about the pure aspect of being able to speak to and for our culture.
Yeah.
That's a. I won't even necessarily say the word experience. I'll say just as far as just having that leg up on competition. Who aim to speak to, say, a starving demographic, but can't authentically do so. That comes from hip hop. That comes from being able to, I have to be able to work 100 times harder than you to get to the space where you might be awarded at. I have to be able to dot my I's and cross my T's in every single space because it's that hard for me to put my creativity out into the world. A piece of incomparable, we love to say, just internally, we're real creatives dictate the culture. It took us a minute to get there, because talked about it previously, as creatives, we can get real sensitive about our shit. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't cuss.
No, you can cuss.
Smiles. Yeah, ahead, but you know, but making sure that you know that we know these things and we're able to package it in a space that resonates with people is everything. And hip hop, it's a cultural, global aesthetic that started from an authentic, pure breakdancing MC place. It came from how you dress, how you walk. As black people in general, we're able to take language that can be derogatory, like nigga, and make it slang. Of course, there's still a pocket of us that don't necessarily identify with that.
Yeah.
But just as far as knowing this is the tenet of where I come from, as to why I say this particular way, able to transform that to incomparable, able to transform that to being able to speak to people, to really give them that type of reminder, whether it's on your wrist or just whatever, you know, don't be regular, be incomparable, advance your wrist, advance your look, advance, like all of those things are more so empowering, like join the in crowd is this, like it's not necessarily anything that's too, I guess you can say, uppity, but it's all inclusive, and it comes from that hip hop space, because we came from a space as to where we weren't welcome. Hip hop was supposed to be a fad.
Yeah.
Same thing with incomparable. Well, black owned watches. Nah, bro, I'd rather just wear XYZ brand. I catch that from us. I know we're gonna talk about that, but
I've caught that from us too.
That we only wear XYZ brand, certain brands.
And it's okay to have that preference.
Yeah.
But don't try and shit on me. And then when you find out that I make Forbes, it's like, oh, congratulations, bro. Like, nah, keep that same energy, my guy.
Yeah, seriously.
Yep.
Nah, especially with hip hop, it's a blessing really to be exposed to that at a young age and to be groomed with that mindset that you're talking about, that growth mindset. From the right ones, of course. Everybody has their own voice. They're all poets. They all speak about different things and talk about their lifestyles. But some of the greats, right, you think about like how Dr. Dre made his own stuff, Ross, Jay-Z, just building their own. So it's an amazing time to just grow from that.
And it comes from a space where they, all the artists that you mentioned, they use it as a springboard. To other things. Like, yeah, you may know of me from this aspect, but I also am an executive producer of, what was that movie that Jay-Z did?
You're talking about
The Harder They Fall.
The Harder They Fall, yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't expect Jay-Z to do something like that.
No.
You wouldn't expect Dr. Right, to have G-Unit Studios.
Got 50. Yeah.
Right. And that's an area of inspiration, because G-Unit was known for a completely different thing in 2001, 2002, 2003. And now you have your own studios in Louisiana, 956,000 square feet.
Amazing.
But you're able to see how individuals like a Tyler Perry, you know, can create a lane for that to be celebrated.
Yeah.
You know, like, that takes a lot to do just in our culture. And it's something that's always gonna be a work in progress, but it's a lot better than where it was.
And that's something you took a page from as well, is you don't just make the watches. Mm-hmm. You are not just one thing. Mm-hmm. I remember that was your mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot why that was. You said, oh man, I can't remember what you said. But tell the people what other products that you have.
Incomparable is an understated minimalist company. We are a flagship for watches, men's and women's, unisex. We really focus on that, between a 36 millimeter to 43 millimeter. So
I need to learn those sizes.
That's all right. We like to call
I'm
it
a... I'm just now getting into the space.
That's cool. It's perfect for him, statement for her.
Yeah.
We also have eyewear. Okay. And our eyewear is a Clarity collection, where you can get lenses, just the frames, various different types of vision. We want to make that an easy aspect of advancing your whole entire look on incomparable.com. And that comes from, I've worn glasses personally since I was probably 6 or 7 years old.
Mm.
My son is almost 7 and he wears glasses. And just knowing that space is a need for us. Again, speaking to our culture, just in the particular frames, speaking to our culture as far as the model placements and whatnot. You mentioned a great point previously, but Kevin Harrington and Shark Tank. We had a commercial with them where I wrote the treatment, picked the models. But I'm saying that because I was very intentful. I don't even know if that's a full word. I had high intentions or whatever you want to use it.
We're going
to
rock with it.
All good. To make sure that our melanin was represented in said, you know, commercials. And that was on ESPN, CNN, Comedy Central, TNT, about 40, 50 different stations. But it was just important to ensure that I represented us there.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't in the commercial itself, aside from the drop after Kevin Harrington, but the model focus was there, because there's so many spaces where we don't get included in that. Like, I kind of had to fight for that. Like, we had to make sure, like, no, I want this person and this person. It was Jamal Wright and Yoki Diaz. They're in Florida. And wanted to make sure that, you know, what they're representing.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal at the time had dreads and whatnot. We wanted to make sure that represented as far as our brand. Because I want you to feel like you see you whenever you see Incomparable.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I had no idea about that battle that you had to go through.
Yeah, man, and those are the behind the scenes type of things that you can easily lose if you don't come in with a specific vision. in mind. It's not even necessarily playing a corporate game or anything like that, but if you, as a creative, if you have a vision for your brand or for your company, whatever the case may be, you could be selling paper plates for all I care. You got to make sure that you see that through.
Yeah.
No matter who you come across along the way, if they're going to be able to provide you value and whatever monetary, visual exposure, whatever the case may be, you stick to your guns as you grow. Because the people that have seen you grow, they're going to stick with you. And it's kind of like a bad relationship whenever I tell people as far as dope customers are concerned. Because it's cheaper to keep them. It's cheaper to keep them. It's cheaper to keep. And what I mean by that is I don't want y'all to cut me off and make me go viral and catch a meme or nothing like that crazy. But just new customer acquisition costs are much higher, as opposed to just having somebody that's brand loyal. Like you think about this Telfar brand that has the purses and bags and whatnot. They have a specific drop that they do and it goes directly to their email subscribers, text subscribers and whatnot, and high revenue because of that. You already have a great fan. This is just one of many brands. You have a great, loyal fan base that the second that you drop something, I don't have to spend XYZ amount of money to get to these people because my people are automatically gonna cop and do whatever, and they're gonna make these outside people want to be a part of this brand. So that's why I say it's cheaper.
Yeah, you reminded me of something that I remember watching. I remember how Cat Williams was saying Kevin Hart was an industry plant. Mm-hmm. Like, how did he blow up so big and everything? Mm-hmm. And then I remember on The Breakfast Club, Charlamagne was like defending that. He's like, no, like, you know, Kevin did a lot of legwork in the comedy clubs. Mm-hmm. And the smart thing that he did was got people's email address. Mm-hmm. And so that's how like the blow up came real fast because he had that loyal fan base already there. So it was just automatically when what Soul Plane came, boom. Well, I mean, a lot of that got bootleg, but they followed Kevin, right? You know, long story short, they followed Kevin.
Right.
So it was just real easy for him. So I can see that. That makes sense, yeah.
That's why it's so important for y'all to like, comment, subscribe, love on us, follow us, join the in crowd on comprolife.com, stay connected. Because that's one of those things that it's more than just a subscription at that point. You're able to see our growth. And as growing business owners, as growing brand names, I'm very sure they both Cat Williams and Kevin Hart can attest to this. I know Cat Williams has been talked about in the same interview, like he's put on probably like 50 something plus comics just on his tours.
Yeah.
And he does that on purpose because when you're able to touch people and you're able to connect and build those relationships with people and they see your growth, they become loyal to what you're doing as opposed to just building with somebody else because it might look good on paper. You know, that's something that I've seen just in my 20 plus years of entrepreneurship is definitely a piece that it's not ever gonna go away.
Yeah.
Brand loyalty is never gonna go away.
I can see that. So one of the things that I got introduced to when I got introduced to your brand, is you being a minimalist focused brand. Mm. So I had no idea what that meant. Can you tell people exactly? Some people may know, but I didn't know.
It's all good. Being an understated minimalist focused brand, we focus a lot on plain Janes, solid colors, sharp lines, spaces that just really focus a lot more on quality as opposed to just quantity. A lot of what we release at Incomparable through our quality control center, through the customer's hands, is less than 100 of each timepiece that we release. Same with the accessories and whatnot too. So really honing in on the quality component that's gonna make your piece last longer. Yeah. And that goes from just being very much so intentful on your blacks, your rose golds, sometimes your yellow golds, appreciate it. And the versatility of that aspect.
Yeah.
You can wear them with pretty much anything.
Yeah.
And that's a space where being a true minimalist, you have that advantage. Because when we do designs, it can be upwards of like a year or two when we're doing any particular designs, because we want to be able to make sure that you can really not necessarily just wear them with specific colors, but in specific settings. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why we have a advantage of, like, you can get incomparable for, you know, your groomsmen at your wedding. You can wear it and you can have a dope night. Right. You can wear it and have a dope nightcap, and you can wear it and have a dope date night. You can wear it and just go to the grocery store on aisle 11 and pick up whatever it is that you want to pick up. Yeah. We aim to meet the need of iPhone lover, smartwatch hater. And this isn't killing anybody that wears a smartwatch, by the way. But just it's where you're able to know that, like, if you wear a suit, you can still wear it incomparable. Yeah. If you wear a suit, you're not counting your steps. Right? Yeah. There's a time and a place for all of it. Because, you know, I can definitely wear it and count my steps, do my running, but I don't want to be accessible as far as, you know, I got an XYZ amount of text messages I got to answer on my wrist every day. You know, that's having that space and being able to hone on that audience is everything for us.
Yeah. See, it's funny you mentioned the smartwatch thing. Mm-hmm. How I got into the watches, mm-hmm. What led me to your brand. Mm-hmm. At first, only watch I had was Apple Watch.
Yeah,
I was just basic. I really didn't kind of care too much about it. I just, like, growing up for me,
I'll wear it when I'm running. It's not against, we don't hate y'all.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't really kind of wear it for fashion or anything of that nature. Like, mm-hmm. you know, my dad really didn't have one. I remember you telling me, you mentioned earlier your mom, mm-hmm. you know, kind of gave you that advice and mm-hmm. that brought you into this.
Man law. Yeah, never leave the house without one.
Man law. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I didn't grow up on that principle. Mm-hmm. But what got me into it was I was involved with this one girl, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're in the honeymoon phase, you're infatuated, you know, you pay attention to the way they smell, the
right.
way they look.
Right.
And so one of the things that I really paid attention to, I loved her watch pieces. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And I was just like, wow. And so that's what made me, you know, inspired me, should I say.
Right.
Inspired me to, like, pay more attention to
right.
it, because I really like what I saw. And so when I just started doing my research, I kind of didn't want to go with what everybody else was going with. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to kind of just look, because it's a lot. And so I came to your piece and then your pieces, and then boom, it was just like.
Appreciate that. Appreciate
beautiful
that.
Beautiful pieces. You know,
appreciate
I really
that.
Wanted to buy more than what I bought when I first
That's all right.
bought. But, you know, it's a work in progress. Yeah.
I always tell people, man, collect over convert.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
it's a piece for everything. So, yeah, man, that's definitely appreciated, bro.
Yeah.
I mean. That's one of the things, definitely growing up, one of the first things that you notice is somebody's sneakers and what kind of watch they got on.
Yeah.
Especially that I kept that with me since I was yay high. And you spoke right to it. You
yeah.
notice their timepieces. So
yeah.
it's one of those
everything
things.
About it.
Yep.
So let's talk about the future real quick.
Mm-hmm.
What does the future look like from Comparable?
Continuing our global growth, man.
Okay.
We're in all 50 states, 18 countries. We're able to, like I said, authentically speak to our, you know, target consumer and just continue our growth on comparlife.com. You can find us there. And just continuing to really grow and reach our target demographic, resonate with our target demographic, and expand globally.
Okay. I like that. I like that. And I'm wishing you well.
Appreciate it.
So I want to read something that was, like, very inspiring to me that I got off of your Facebook page and I wanted to share with people. It was a post, so it's,
all
I mean,
good.
It's public knowledge.
All
people
good.
Can go in there and show it, but, I mean, this really spoke to me. And
I don't be
like,
thinking nobody paid me no attention. So
oh,
if I
no,
cut somebody
no.
out, man, y'all don't pull that up.
Well, see, I didn't read the comments.
All good.
Just the post. Now I have to go back and read the comments.
All good.
I want to see it. All right, so you said, I'm gonna keep showing up.
Mm-hmm.
I lost everything when I got sick
mm-hmm.
and officially diagnosed with autism
mm-hmm.
and epilepsy, excuse
mm-hmm.
me. Damn near died in my car and in ICU.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna keep showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Business slowed up. I'm gonna keep showing up.
Mm-hmm.
People I thought were friends, people I did big favors for,
mm-hmm.
stopped answering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna keep showing up.
Mm-hmm.
I've been homeless.
Mm-hmm.
I slept in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I've couch hopped.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna keep showing up.
Mm-hmm.
I made Forbes, GQ, Vogue,
mm-hmm.
Entrepreneurial, and Fronted on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna keep showing up.
Mm-hmm.
I lost it all. And I'm gonna get it back plus more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna keep showing up. until they say I'm one of the greatest minimalists created ever. Mm-hmm. Don't be regular, be incomparable. Mm-hmm. Thank you for showing up.
Appreciate you, brother. I appreciate
thank
you, brother.
Thank you. So go ahead and give the people the details of where they can find everything at.
Stay connected. Visit Vibe, subscribe at incomparablelife.com. It's NCMPRBLIFE.com. Follow us on X. Follow us on Instagram. You can even follow us on Pinterest, Facebook, all that good stuff. At Incomparable Life, including TikTok. At Incomparable Life.
But they're about to ban it, though. Or they did ban it, right? Yeah, they signed it today.
They signed it today. They got a few months then, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Gotta save all those videos while we can.
One more thing. This is why that this is important. I'm glad you brought that up. This is why that this is important for all of my brands and all of my CEOs and all of my small business owners that really, really, really hone in on live and online. Build up those email subscribers.
Yes.
Definitely build up your SMS subscribers, because when these, if these social media platforms end tomorrow, you want to make sure that you stay connected with your target audience, because if they're gone and there's no other way to contact you, business can face a lot of challenges. And that's that is actually, but I appreciate that, by the way. I was in a space where entrepreneurship is you get your $0 days. You get your days and you in the red. you get your years and you in the red. I always tell, I'm a business coach as well. So I speak with a lot of my mentees, and I let them know that when you start your company, be prepared. I got some Ice Cube as well. The first 5 to 7 years, be prepared to not make a dollar. Mm-hmm. Can you stick with that? Can you stick with your dream to build, to stay with it? Keep people around you that's gone. Everybody thought that I was crazy when I started in Compro and I didn't tell nobody. And they were like, watches. You're in a doctoral program. What are you doing? This is something that I love to do.
Yeah.
It was something, it was a difference that I love to make. And making sure that you're able to build and hone those relationships, man, like that's everything.
Yeah.
And just when I made that particular status, it was after.
Oh, so you remember the status?
Yeah, I remember it. I remember it. Even with the epilepsy, I remember it. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Jay-Z made the
444 album.
No, well, it wasn't 444 album. He made the quote about keep showing up at the Grammys.
And I thought that's where it came from.
And I was watching it, and that's where I just became just inspired to really just put that out there. Because as a CEO, even with being a minimalist, you're kind of private, because you want to be very strategic in everything that you do.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely like that with social media. But growing and putting it out there, I knew somebody needed to hear it, because everything, even with all the accolades you just mentioned, when I made Forbes, and it's just being a buck with you, I noticed that friends supported me less because they found out that, and this isn't all of them, but you definitely notice a drop monetary wise. One, when I hit Forbes, and two, when I got sick. And this is when I almost died. I had seizures in the car and all the other stuff. There were people that felt the need to be like, okay, my work here is done. As far as I bought this, I support it, I don't have to do no more. You made this publication, you're big time now.
Yeah.
I don't have to do this no more. It's like, we need you even more now because of these said accolades, because we're knocking on these doors to get into these rooms, to get into these dope placements and all of that. We need that dope clientele. We need those people that, oh, okay, I feel good about myself today. Like, no, you get something because you like it.
Yeah.
Because when we get the iPhone, we like it.
Yeah.
When we get the new Samsung phone, we like it. When we get the new iPad, it's not because I want to show Tim Cook all the support that I can
you got it because you like it. Right. And that's
that's
something that we definitely just as a people, as a culture, like I'm definitely thankful for all my in crowd across the globe. But just making sure that repetition is there, because that's everything for us as a growing business. Whenever we see anybody that like, share, comment, subscribe, tell people, buy something, post it, tag us, we see it all. Yeah. And we get real happy whenever we see that, because it's a dream that started from nothing, that started from a straight up idea that people thought that I was legit crazy for. And then all of a sudden you make Forbes, you're just like, congratulations, how did you do it? Let's keep doing it. Let's keep chasing history.
Absolutely. Yep. That's a good lesson. I need to make sure I show up more too.
Man, you know, it's a grind. Up, but
yeah. Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Hey, well, Mario, thank you for having
me. Man, I appreciate you for having me.
Thank you for coming on the
no problem,
podcast.
Man.
You know, been trying to get you for a long time, and I'm grateful to have you here. So
no problem.
Thank you for sharing your story.
No problem, man. Yeah, you got a dope platform here, man. Big appreciation.
Absolutely. I'm trying to build just like you.
You got it, man. You got it.
All right, y'all. We'll talk to you later. See you.